Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
July 9th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. Plenty of important stuff to get into, some pretty crazy stories that might not even be true, things we're going to go over, as well as some pretty provocative moves by the United States. The story that we should be skeptical of today, the headline that I'm seeing in regard to an Iranian tanker, or rather a tanker carrying Iranian oil being detained by Egypt, apparently is being reported as taking place 10 days ago, but is being confirmed by local sources on the ground, but not being very much covered anywhere else. So we'll get into that and why we should be skeptical of it. Bolton essentially demanding that Iran end their nuclear weapons program right now, even though they're not even close or seeking one. Today, a lot of discussion of hypocrisy, you know, discussion of people that are actually violating deals and agreements and resolutions, pointing to people that are not doing so. Discussions of actual aggression versus not aggression, all the things we're seeing today. Of course, the most shocking story for me, Mike Pompeo heading up a commission to discuss which human rights deserve respect. Can you believe that? We'll get into all of this stuff and more, but to begin today, something that I think is probably the most provocative move we've seen so far in regard to China, as well as just covered in hypocrisy. This first one coming from Zero Hedge, and this one is entitled, "In Major Provocation to China, U.S. approves sale of $2.2 billion in weapons to Taiwan." To Taiwan. After which the United States was going crazy because China and Russia were even just minorly involved in regard to Venezuela, which is not actually in control of the United States. And here they're doing something like this, which is just wildly hypocritical. Now, the U.S. State Department has approved a sale up to Taiwan, which, in case you're unfamiliar, China sees it as being part of China, which is what they call their One China policy. Taiwan just seeking to be independent. We've seen this happen all throughout history in numerous different places. But the hypocrisy in regard to how the United States is dealing with this is what I'm focusing on. Now, the State Department approved a sale to Taiwan of M1, A2T, Abrams tanks, Stinger missiles, and related equipment at an estimated value of $2.2 billion. Despite vocal Chinese criticism of this deal. Now, this while the United States was criticizing China's involvement in plenty of places, including, as I said, in South America, and box at the idea of any of the selling weapons, basically anybody, not just them, but any other country that's their adversary selling any weapons to a U.S. adversary or U.S. allies for that matter. And here they are flagrantly showing the world it's, quote, "Do as I say, not as I do," foreign policy. I guess not technically quote, because I don't think they've actually said that, but this is exactly what they're doing in the world. Do as I say, not as I do, because we're good guys and we can break the law, basically. Now, as a reminder, 1 month ago, China's foreign ministry said it was seriously concerned about U.S. arms sales to self-ruled Taiwan and urged the United States to halt the sales to avoid harming bilateral ties. This has been going on for a long time, warning them of such things. Now, at the start of June, during the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore, China's defense minister, Wei Fangyi, warned the United States not to meddle in security disputes over Taiwan and the South China Sea. Now, understand that I am not implying anything other than the utter hypocrisy of the United States to take such an action and then act the way it does when China does the very same thing, and arguably to a much lesser degree. Now, any nation, to be clear, should be able to enter into legitimate and mutual agreed upon trade with any other nation. Now, just because that trade is counter to another uninvolved party's agenda, that does not give that party the right to baselessly and falsely name it illegal or illicit, or more childishly, name the nation involved in the trade they don't like as a bad guy who is no friend to the United States, which, by the way, is not a crime and is becoming an increasingly common position due entirely to the actions of rogue U.S. government officials acting counter to the best interests of the American people and around the world, of course, for the benefit of the ruling class. Now, in response, acting U.S. Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan told the meeting that the United States would no longer tiptoe around Chinese behavior in Asia, confirming that a sale of more than $2 billion in weapons to Taiwan would be seen as a provocation to China's national interests in the region, and a clear sign that the gloves are off when it comes to geopolitical claims. Knowing that if China had done the equivalent of this in reverse, it would be a much, much bigger deal. And of course, China has responded to this. And this also coming from Zero Hedge in a follow-up. China demands U.S. sever military ties with Taiwan after $2.2 billion arms proposal. Now, Beijing has long vehemently criticized U.S.-Taiwan defense relations, which, of course, it sees as encroaching on its sovereignty and specifically its one China principle regarding Taiwan, meaning that it's all part of China, the same way that the United States would see Hawaii or Puerto Rico or any number of other places, even though they themselves might not see themselves that way, Hawaii being a perfect example, lived there for 2 years. They really do not see themselves as Americans. Now, I wholeheartedly feel that Taiwan has a right to self-determination, as anybody does. But an interesting point to make is that this is quite a bit different than the U.S. taking issue with China or Russia helping Venezuela, because the U.S. does not control Venezuela, not yet anyway. So the U.S. acting like it has some right to the area in South America specifically is imperialistic and simply untrue, while China, at least in its eyes, is in control of Taiwan, in the same way that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. So this is actually more like Russia or China selling weapons and working with Hawaii or Puerto Rico, which would then give the U.S. much more legitimacy to claim foul play. I mean, imagine what Trump would do if China started selling weapons to Puerto Rico. So yes, what the U.S. is doing is both hypocritical and much more a violation and provocation, even though that's never the way it'll be framed by the media or the U.S. government. Now it says, quote, the U.S. arms sales to Taiwan severely violate international law, the basic norms governing international relations, the One China Principle, and the three China-U.S. joint communiques show this. And this is Foreign Ministry spokesman Geng Shungai, I believe. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. He says, quote, it grossly interferes in China's internal affairs and undermines China's sovereignty and security interests. And he further called on the U.S. to sever military ties with Taiwan. Now, the statement underscored that China will take every action to safeguard its national sovereignty while opposing foreign interference, which is interesting, as Taiwan is, quote, an inalienable part of China's territory, according to China. Now, just remember here that what we're talking about is China's perspective on Taiwan. And as I said, Taiwan very clearly, if they decide themselves want to be independent and seek self-determination, I would support that and believe they have that right. But as the United States is seemingly doing, even under the guise of fighting for freedom and democracy, while criticizing the same type of thing in reverse when it's much less severe, simply shows hypocrisy. That's what I'm pointing out. Not that I don't even agree that Taiwan should be independent, but my point is that's not at all what the U.S. is actually trying to accomplish. We need to recognize that, and the hypocrisy shows you that level to it. Now, the statement they said put out by the spokesman of China, of the foreign ministry, excuse me, underscored that China will take every action to ensure that these type of interference actions coming from foreign governments, which is so funny to think about in regard to the United States talking about Russian interference. But of course, this is just not even close to the same thing, because China bad guy, Russia bad guy changes the whole scenario. Now it says, quote, China urges the United States to honor its commitment to the One China Principle. Commitment, interesting, what are they talking about? Goes on to say, and the three China-U.S. joint communiques. Immediately withdraw the aforementioned planned arms sales to and sever military ties with Taiwan to avoid further damage to bilateral relations and peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. This is according to the spokesman. And before I address the obvious interesting part there about a supposed U.S. commitment to something, we're breaking something else, just again recognize the provocative action, regardless of whether the U.S. is even right in what they're doing, which I agree they're not. Think about what they're essentially doing, the one thing that's going to cause conflict between two nuclear powers. Why is that? Whether you're allowed to do it or not, or whether it's justified or not, or any one thing you want to say, why is this a smart move to take? Maybe because there's profit involved? Something to think about. I'll touch on that in a moment as well. But this is very interesting. This is called the three communiques. Something I argue most probably every American, and myself included, before I looked into this, was even aware that even existed. Guess what? You might find it entirely unsurprising that this is yet another example of the U.S. government violating one of its agreements. Color me shocked. And this has been ongoing well before Trump, to make that clear. But the three China-U.S. joint communiques are a collection of three statements and agreements committed to and made by the U.S. and China. And this was during previous administrations, which essentially, as you can see here, both sides agreed to respect each other's national sovereignty and territorial integrity. The United States formally acknowledged that, quote, all China on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintained there is but one China, end quote. Another agreement being completely disregarded by the United States. Now, you might say, okay, wait a minute, what changed? Did something else happen? Not really. Yes, things have changed and evolved, but ultimately what was agreed upon in this statement is the same scenario we're looking at right now. The only thing that changed is the tensions between the trade going on with China and then potential profit from arms sales. Of course, and the very moment that it benefited the United States to do so, this agreement, like so many others, was completely ignored. Like it is today, under a guise of fighting for freedom, like everywhere else. When really, this is likely just about the money, the profit, the arms sales, the lifeblood of a war-focused country. Now, moving on to more about Iran, because this, in my opinion, is very interestingly tied together, because we have to understand how China and Russia have both clearly thrown in with Iran if something were to ultimately happen, if the United States were to drive this to military action. They would have the backing of Russia and China. But we're still seemingly seeing provocations and things moving forward, which many people believe does not actually mean they want some kind of conflict, but rather they're using this to pressure each other to take some kind of action. Sadly, I'd like to believe that's the case, but historically speaking, we've found ourselves in war for some pretty ridiculous justifications, if you want to call it that. But for this next story about Iran, starting with the one that we should be skeptical of, I saw this morning and was immediately on this about, oh, here we go, it's another story. And the moment that I dug into this even slightly, I find out that they're reporting that this happened 10 days ago. But how does that in any way make sense? Egypt detains oil tanker, arrests six for espionage. Now, there's some other people in our chat saying that people are claiming this is old news that's being rehashed. I haven't seen any evidence of that. Certainly possible, though. Which is exactly why we should always be skeptical here. But this is being reported by some people with some basically people that I wouldn't assume are trying to manipulate. Coming from multiple different outlets, mind you. But as far as I can tell, this is citing local press reports. And primarily, this is Middle East Monitor reporting on local news coming from the ground. Which, as always, we should question all of these outlets. You should be questioning me right now. But they said this today, that in a Ukrainian tanker carrying Iranian oil, as it passed through, interestingly, the Suez Canal, 10 days ago, they claim, was seized by the Egyptian government. Just as Egypt's state security criminal court was sentencing six people to lengthy jail terms, allegedly for spying for Iran. Thank you for the super chat. Now, let's just say for sake of conversation, this all took place today. The fact that it's a Ukrainian tanker, Iranian oil, and the Suez Canal, and the Egyptian government is incredibly interesting and relevant for so many different reasons. But the fact that this, they're claiming, was 10 days ago just does not make sense. Knowing that the British pirated tanker happened in the very day the story blew up. Iran was speaking out. Do you really think Iran wouldn't have said something about this? At least I can't find anything. I didn't see any Iranian response to this, even though technically it wasn't an Iranian tanker. So maybe it was only the second tanker that was taken they decided to speak out about. I really don't know. But there's something about this that doesn't add up to me. Now, it goes on to say those defendants in regard to the spying case have all been sentenced to between 15 and 25 years in jail, a $30,000 fine, and the confiscation of their computers and phones. Egyptian professor who was present at the trial on Sunday, said he was accused of harming Egypt's national interest and receiving money to spread Iranian Shiism in Sunni Egypt by launching a website, issuing publications and attracting recruits. Oh, no. How we shouldn't want to veer them away from that Sunni, you know, Wahhabist mentality. Oh, no, the terrorist focus. And that's the point. It's funny that that's the idea. They're trying to deceive them into some other way just by using a website. But obviously the understanding of the Sunni Saudi connected Wahhabist mentality is like the lifeblood of every terrorist organization around the world, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, on a side note, this is happening simultaneously, allegedly arresting people tied to Iranian spy networks, and then also seizing a tanker that no one talked about. Now, Egypt is a staunch ally of the United States, and again, a Sunni-majority country, which naturally aligns with the UAE and Saudi Arabia in their efforts to so-called contain Iran. But we have to understand, again, there's been a lot going on in this area in regard to Egypt specifically. We know that the U.S.-backed Egyptian coup, of course, where the leader that was being held and just mysteriously died in prison. Of course, that's how it works when it's on the U.S. side of things. We don't focus on those things and make a big deal about it. We just assume that there was no foul play, right? Of course not. But Egypt being shored up right around the Suez Canal, which is where the Red Pin is, which is a route to get across over into the Mediterranean Sea to bring oil to places like Syria or Europe. And which is why the last tanker actually went all the way around the Horn of Africa to avoid going through this controlled strait. That's my opinion, even though they claim they wouldn't have been able to go through it. But the point is that they shored up this control around Egypt and all the surrounding areas to, I would argue, ostensibly have control over this canal. And that's also why they're trying to get control over the Purple Pin, which is where the Strait of Hormuz is, as well as down there by Yemen, as you can see below the Red Pin through the canal, is the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which is what they're fighting right now to control. Now, just take a moment and recognize, do you think it's coincidence that all these locations of hotspot, you know, U.S. military conflict just so happen to be oil choke points? Do you think that's just coincidence that they're combating terrorism, evil around the world, and they all just so happen to be oil choke points? Or do you think it's more likely that they're making this happen in order to control the oil choke points, knowing that Iran could potentially shut down the Strait of Hormuz? I mean, it's right there in front of you. Or does it make more sense that these supposed points all are terrorist hotspots, and the U.S. is fighting for freedom and liberty only in these spots? Of course, yes, they're also doing all these ostensibly in other places, but just they're also destroying and killing and maiming and, you know, freedom, democracy. It's all the same. But it's important to recognize where this is all taking place. But again, the fact that they claim it took place 10 days ago, there's something off about that. But the reason I'm reporting on it is because I haven't seen anything other than that, which is just me being skeptical, to suggest this is not true. Because it's certainly possible that they just didn't say anything about it, but I don't know. That's why I'm bringing it to you to do your research on, and we can follow up on how and when this happens. But at the same time, with everything that's been going on, with all the weird, just false claims and manipulations and allegations that just don't get picked up, so they just ignore them, you know, the claims, oh, well, they also tried to attack this ship and we stopped them, but didn't really sell it, so they just let it alone. All these ridiculous things going on around all of these claims today. We should actually be considering whether or not this event even happened. Whether or not this is yet another, you know, Saudi Arabia standing up and saying, look what we just did, even though we can't prove it. Something like this. Certainly possible. Skepticism is the word of the day for everything we're talking about. So, of course, we'll follow up on this if and when more comes about it. Now, moving on to more stuff about Iran, this coming from anti-war, Bolton demands Iran abandon non-existent nuclear arms program. Lovely. Just like Trump saying that if Iran disavows seeking nukes, which he keeps saying, if they'll just disavow nukes, that he'll walk back the pressure. This, of course, despite Iran having done just that countless times, right? But here's Bolton doing the same thing. This is not about stopping or changing their actions, understand. This is all about influencing your opinion of Iran's actions. That's it. They don't truly want to change anything. They just want to make sure you see it the way they want you to see it. So Bolton continued to scream, stop the program that they don't have, that they keep everyone keeps proving they don't have. And Trump to say, you better disavow nukes, as they've done 100 times in the past. Do you think that they don't really want them to do it because they've already done it? They simply want you to think that they haven't done it. which is why U.S. officials are continuing to demand that Iran get rid of its nuclear weapons program. This is a long-standing demand, and Iran is well aware of it. The problem is Iran doesn't have such a program and has repeatedly disavowed having a program ever in the future. Ever. For religious reasons, but that doesn't matter, you see. Now, they might as well not bother to have spent the last 16 years disavowing arms with hawkish people like John Bolton clearly acting like it never happened, saying the U.S. is determined to, quote, increase the pressure on the Iranian regime until it abandons its nuclear weapons program, end quote. Now, the other point of continually saying it just like that, weapons, abandoning its nuclear weapons program, not abandoning its nuclear program, but very clearly making sure to say it's a weapons program. The other point of continuing to do it just like that is to imply that the program they have right now is in fact a weapons program, which it verifiably is not. The U.S. wants Iran to abandon its right as a nation to have a civilian nuclear program, an energy program, which is about 85% shy of even being able to produce the high-grade uranium needed for weapons, which they intentionally leave that part out. And they are just choosing to falsely call it a weapons program in order to deceive an unaware public. This is knowingly dishonest and intentionally deceptive, as so much of what they do is. I mean, we should no longer be shocked by this, as I just yesterday showed very clearly how Netanyahu was willfully lying about enriching uranium, claiming that there's only one reason you enrich uranium, and that's for bombs, which is patently false. And anybody with any intelligence in this field will tell you that's incredibly false. And here is the Non-Proliferation Treaty, wherein it clearly outlines that the enrichment of low-grade uranium, which is what Iran is verifiably producing, and the only kind that they're even capable of producing right now, is every sovereign nation's right to do so. The U.S. signed this treaty, and yet they're both ignoring it and lying about it right now. And add it to the list of treaties and resolutions and agreements that the U.S. government has disregarded. But we should trust them and honor them, and they're the moral authority, right? I mean, really, they've done that more so in the last few years than I've ever seen. But understand, again, it began long before Donald Trump. Now, Iran's Major General Hossein Salami reiterated on Monday that Iran will never pursue a nuclear weapon. Not before, not now, they will never pursue one. And that the whole world knows that. The general asked why the world allows sanctions on Iran over the nuclear issue when it clearly isn't a real issue. Now, that's such an important thing to think about. Obviously, he's not talking about, you know, why is the U.S. and Israel allowing this? He knows why. What he's saying is, why do people like the United Nations, the International Atomic Energy Agency, who are all very clearly saying, we just proved Iran is not doing this. They've said this from the beginning. They've continually shown you this, but then they don't do anything about it. There's no continual standing cry, you know, crying out, no crying foul, no standing on the world. When's the last time you saw people standing up on the UN stage and condemning the United States for lying about this? It doesn't happen. And that's what he's pointing out. And this isn't because they disagree. As I said, the UN, the IAEA have regularly said that they don't agree with what the US is saying, but yet silence when it really matters, which should show you something. Now, US officials have been reiterating the idea of an Iranian nuclear threat for so long, and against all discernible reason, that at this point, the facts simply don't matter for most U.S. officials, which I argue is kind of the point, the agenda behind doing so. Policy is simply to escalate sanctions, and the escalation has become an end unto itself. Now, Vice President Mike Pence says that the U.S. doesn't want war with Iran, but is determined to protect U.S. interests, which is interestingly honest, probably unintentionally so. As we know, this is about control over resources and in what currency they get traded. And here is Pence saying just that. It's about U.S. interests, just like it was in Venezuela and just like it is right now in Yemen. Not about terrorism or protecting civilians or fighting for freedom and democracy, but simply protecting U.S. interests at the cost of all else, including human life, our honor, integrity as a nation, And this is not just about Trump, as so many cannot help but make it, but about Bush and Obama and Clinton and on and on and on. It's about the ones above them all. Now, if you disagree with me, ask yourself right now, in what other way Iran is right now attacking U.S. interests, as Mike Pompeo is suggesting that we have to protect U.S. interests. In what way are they attacking U.S. interests? They're not, which is the point. So by protecting U.S. interests is discussing the ideas that I'm putting forth in regard to resources and in what currency these oils will be traded, which directly affects the world reserve currency and the petrodollar. That is U.S. interest today. Iran is in no way going out and attacking U.S. interests anywhere. But then consider in what ways the U.S. and its allies are right now attacking Iranian interests. Everywhere. Economically. On the political stage. I mean, it's everywhere. And the real picture becomes clear. Hopefully. If people are allowing the information to break through. Now, this puts Iran in a tough position. With the U.S. specifically. Because it plainly doesn't matter what Iran says they want to do or promises or anything. Doesn't matter what Iran says, what they want to do, what they do, or what Iranian leaders declare as religiously forbidden. The U.S. will always lead with the same nonsensical demand. And U.S. officials will always feel justified with threatening Iran over plain, obvious, demonstrable lies. Now, another very interesting point that I had to include in this, something I've gone over in the past, a long time back, actually, but could not be more relevant to today and this discussion. For this article is coming from 21st Century Wire, entitled "A Simple Solution for Nuclear Non-Proliferation for Iran and the Middle East." Now, as always, I hope you will read this article in its entirety, as well as everything we're talking about today. But I want to share just one main point made within this article. Now, I'm not sure if I fully agree with the solution laid out here, but it is very interesting. And the part I wanted to read to you reads, basically the solution: declare the Middle East and North Africa a nuclear-free zone with the most obtrusive inspections under the auspices of the United Nations. So you can see why I have my reservations with something like this, because it leans on bodies that I know to be corrupt. But he continues to say, before you laugh, Iran proposed this a number of years ago, and the idea was endorsed by most Arab countries in the area. Now, I remember this, and I talked about it. Now, many people try to say it was disingenuous, and they're lying, and it's propaganda, but the reality is they put this forward to the world, the UN, and everybody, and said, let's make the Middle East a nuclear-free zone under inspections of the United Nations. Now, why would a country that actually is trying to do something that they claim they're doing propose something like that? It simply doesn't line up unless you just take you give them the benefit of the doubt on the side of U.S. claims. But he goes on to say, but there's a fly in the ointment. Israel. The Israelis said no. And the United States, of course, followed Israeli wishes and kept this from happening. So at the bottom line, he's outlining here is that they propose to do away with nuclear weapons in general. Understand the thing that Israel pretends they don't have and doesn't talk about it. Nuclear ambiguity, it's called, even though it's been confirmed numerous times. They've got hundreds of nukes. Only country that's allowed to do that, of course, because, you know, Israel's special. But understand what he's saying is that they proposed a nuclear-free zone. All the countries that the West tries to demonize today, they all said, yes, let's do it. Most of them, anyway. I don't remember for sure, but I can almost promise you Saudi Arabia wasn't included in that. But Israel stood up in the Middle East and said no. The only one, and then of course the U.S. goes along and says, okay, well, Israel doesn't want it. And of course we like nuclear weapons because we have power over you, so we're going to leave it as is. And now as they pretend this is what they actually want is no nuclear weapons, what they really want is no nuclear weapons in anybody else's hands. That's what they want. How embarrassing it is to recognize that these countries they're trying to make out to be the enemies are the ones actually genuinely embodying what they pretend what the U.S. pretends it wants to do today. Just got to simply do your research and it's all there. As he says, this fact, and it is a fact, should be emblazoned across the skies that Iran proposed a nuclear-free Middle East and Israel said no, and the U.S. obliged. Why are we letting Israel determine the security of the Middle East and the world? If Israel argues that it needs nuclear warheads for defense, it has the biggest nuclear power, the United States of America, 100% in its corner. The U.S. can guarantee that any conventional attack on Israel would be met by a U.S. strike. The U.S. could even maintain a large base in Israel for that purpose, and a nuclear attack would unleash the U.S. arsenal. Or is the actual reason for Israel wanting to keep its more than 200 warheads because it does not trust the word of the United States? Israel does not trust the U.S., but apparently Iran should. And Israel should have nuclear warheads, but Iran shouldn't. The world should focus on this perfect solution, this is what he's outlining, before our eyes, and the United States should stop threatening the annihilation of Iran or any other nation. A nuclear-free Middle East, Iran would sign up. All that is left to do is to persuade the two self-declared peace-loving countries of Israel and the United States to simply do the same. Pretty powerful to think about and recognize that right now, if they were to propose this plan, Iran would back it. But guess who wouldn't? Israel and the United States. Now, you see, sadly, the U.S. and Israeli governments are all too happy to maintain the status quo in which they have all the power, nuclear and otherwise, that most others do not. And now, in one of the most chilling moves I have seen in a long time, the leading violators of human rights in the world will now decide which inherent human rights should ultimately be respected. This coming from Anti-War, entitled Pompeo Launches Commission to Study Which Human Rights Deserve Respect. And yes, if you heard what I said before, you heard that correctly. I said inherent rights, meaning they cannot be voted away. They can be ignored by tyrannical governments, but they can never be taken from you as a human being. Some of which are outlined in our very own U.S. Constitution, if you're an American, which it seems now is up for debate, I guess, by some of the most morally ambiguous men in existence today. Now, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced on Monday that he is launching, and I'm not kidding you, what he calls, quote, a commission on unalienable rights. That's his title, a commission on unalienable rights, which he described as being meant to review which human rights, quote, are entitled to gain respect. Now really let that sink in for a moment. I mean, this seems to clearly suggest that Mike Pompeo here either does not fully understand what the word unalienable actually means, or he simply does not care. Either way, that is pretty damn alarming. And just in case, you know, just for the sake of conversation, unalienable, meaning, but to most simplistic terms, that it cannot be taken away from you, especially by a government. And here he is bringing in a commission and even using the word unalienable in the title and saying that we're here to discuss which one of these so-called unalienable rights are going to continue to be rights, are entitled to gain respect. I mean, this is alarming, at least to me. I don't know about you. Now, Pompeo said that the proliferation of human rights claims, have required, quote, one of the most profound re-examinations of the unalienable rights in the world. Again, there's no re-examining unalienable rights. I mean, this is classic. This is just as ridiculous as a preemptive defensive strike. This is what they do. I mean, this being the U.S., I understand, and human rights, right? So there is a lot of critics are expecting this to go pretty poorly. Some were critical of how, you know, little human rights play a factor in U.S. foreign policy today, while others are expecting a religion-centric study group, which will try to endorse traditional Judeo-Christian concepts of rights, while disavowing more modern concepts, which Pompeo described as being, quote, government-prescribed rights. I mean, understand, this truly could not be more chilling, what we're talking about here. I mean, honestly, even if you actually have faith that Pompeo wants to do the right thing, we're still talking about putting in the hands of a select group of people to decide or disregard, or accept or disregard, what we all accept as inherent rights as being human. That should scare you. And then add to that what Pompeo is actually accomplishing today and what the government he's a part of is actually doing around the world. That is why everybody is so concerned that the U.S. is spearheading the most ridiculous, ironically spearheading the Human Rights Commission. Now, others clearly, considering this religious aspect is something that we should consider. And it's something that is alarming, recognizing, of course, the Zionist aspect to it as well. The religious push on what they decide is going to be basically handed down for the rest of the world. And of course, putting their beliefs on top of that is going to drive it in a very specific way. Now, coming at a time when the UN Human Rights Commissioner the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights is right now criticizing the United States' treatment of migrants and refugees. The expectation is that the commission will conclude that these groups simply don't have any such rights to try to deflect international criticism. Now, of course, this is thinking domestically, which to a lot of Americans is much more important. But recognize all of the other fields of war where there is far more reason for concern. Starving 20 million people to death in Yemen, currently beginning to do the same in Syria, killing 40,000 children in Venezuela. I mean, on and on and on. And if you can then tweak what you consider to be justifiable human rights and how that applies to what you're doing specifically around the world, think about that power. And it's what they're doing everywhere else right now, rewriting history, reality, right in front of us, because they're powerful enough to do it. I mean, in other words, potentially one of the most overtly dishonest and disingenuous displays of political manipulation by one of the most flagrant violators of human rights and one of the worst obfuscators of human rights violations committed by U.S. allies that just disregards human suffering because, of course, it hinders the U.S. government agenda. One step at a time here, these powerfully rogue governments behind the largest collective military power the world has ever known are eroding the everyday diminishing ability of the average individual to hold these governments accountable or have any ability whatsoever to enforce or protect what you believe to be your rights as a person, as an American, as a citizen of the earth. That is, of course, unless you do something about it. Thank you so much for being here today. It's always important to get out there and spread the word, get the truth out in front of as many people as possible. If you'd like to support the channel, as always, there's plenty of links in the show notes, include as well as everything I discussed today is always noted below. But there's links to our PayPal, our Patreon, our Bitbacker, and everything else. If you'd like to buy a shirt and support us, question everything. I'm actually wearing the Gaza Fights for Freedom shirt again today. But question everything, anything, go to truthclothing.io. The link is in the show notes. Support this channel. We are people funded from top to bottom. I love you all. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.